This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Thursday, June 20th. June has flown by. My God, you said last month. May is the longest month. It dragged so bad. June is absolutely flying by.
June was quick.
You're not going to see a lot of me in July, I'll tell you that right now. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer. Ben Higgins, my co-host.
What happens to you in July?
Oh, I'm on vacation. Woods is here. You miss me for a week. Be off a couple Fridays. Sorry about it. Life is short. YOLO. It's YOLO time. My birthday coming up. Better get me something nice.
Yeah, it seems
birthday
unlikely.
Month for Woods.
Yeah, birthday.
I'm not
month.
A great gift giver. In fact, I am bad. A terrible gift
well,
giver.
I've made you better. I've made you better.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably a better tipper now too. You feel guilty, don't you?
A little bit.
Yes, it's working. 6 years of chiseling it down.
I do think that in general we over tip a little bit now.
That's what cheap people usually think. They do usually think that.
I think
I'm with Ben.
I think for the things that we should be tipping for, people under tip. They need, like, for a restaurant server, 15% is not enough anymore. It needs to be at least 20.
Yeah. I just feel like every job now
but
has
if,
the tip
if,
option.
If you're not doing something for me, I don't need to tip you.
Do you tip your Amazon driver?
No. I give him stuff. At Christmas, we leave stuff out for him, but I don't tip him. I tip my mailman.
You leave stuff out for
him? Yeah, cookies and waters and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, my wife does. I don't do it either.
Okay. Yeah, if you have Cox Cable and the cable
Cox.
Guy has to come out and fix your cable box, do you tip him?
No, a guy came and put an oven in the other day, and I tipped him. We got our new oven, thanks to our pal Alex at B&B that we played ball with at Fantasy Camp. Yeah. So they came out, put a new oven in. I greased them pretty good.
We tipped the staff at the GOAT after our golf tournament.
We did? Yeah, of course. Just take care of people. Feels good. Feels good to do it. Doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. When I'm standing at a counter.
Why not?
Fast food restaurant. Quick service restaurant.
And $300.
I have to go order myself, and I am, you know, okay, I'll have two fish tacos and a drink. And they say, all right, here's your, it's $12. Mm-hmm. And then it comes up on the screen. Do you want to tip 15, 20, or 25% on that? I don't really want to tip 25% on that.
So you don't?
I have to go get the food myself. I have to go get the drink myself. I will clear the table myself at the end. I do appreciate that there's someone back in the you know, kitchen who's making the food. So generally, I will add $1. It won't be a full percentage, though, of the meal. I'm not adding $4 to the meal when I'm doing most of the work myself.
Like Jax says in the chat, I don't tip on takeout. Traditionally, you would tip 20% when you sit down for dinner somewhere. But if you're just coming in, grabbing it, and walking out, do you tip?
Again, if it's...
You guys pick the lowest option DoorDash, don't you?
If it's like $50... delivery is... No, that's valuable. Someone going and picking it up and bringing it to me. But if I go and drive myself to the restaurant to pick up the food, I'll leave like $2 for boxing it up for me. Because that's some work. Someone took some time to box it up and put it all in a bag for me. Thank you for doing that. That's worth a couple of bucks. It's not worth 20% of the $50 check. That's $10. I'm not paying $10 just for you to box up my meal so I can go pick it up myself.
For me,
maybe I'm just cheap. I don't know.
Andros says, do you tip the bathroom attendees? Yes, and I will say, though,
I just don't use them.
That is the one guy, there's no girls in the men's bathroom.
That's a bad job.
So that is the one person I'm like, I don't need you. Number one, I don't need you in there when I'm doing my business. All right. Number two, I can get my own paper towel, and I have for years. That one seems a bit. Now, if I do get some mints or a spray of Fahrenheit cologne or something, sure. I'll give you a dollar or two, but that one kind of just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like the guy standing there with a towel.
Yeah.
It's like you're...
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable every time.
I know this makes me sound cheap. Just to be clear, I still tip every time. If the option's there.
Oh, in there? Yeah.
Every time there's an option,
me too.
Especially electronically paying for something, there's always the, do you want to tip 10, 15, 20%? Like, I always leave a tip because I don't want to be perceived as a jerk.
What about Jersey Mike's, guys?
Yeah, because they ring that bell when you give them at least a dollar, and I like to hear the bell sound.
It's the most brilliant, and the whole, thank you, you like that.
I think there's been a big gray area now on what is worth a tip and what is just doing the job that you are paid to be doing. And at a time, there was a time when restaurant workers were only making $6 as servers.
Right.
And now they're making more.
Because they depended on tips. But now they're making $15-$20 an hour, whatever minimum wage is. So that's changed.
I believe in karma, and I believe in trying to make somebody's day if you can, I don't go crazy. I don't do here's a $100 tip on a $20.
I've told you this before. For years, I didn't even know that people tipped their barber.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, that's literally what I'm paying you to do.
A lot of them rent that area.
Totally understand. Yep. I'm just saying early on, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally paying you specifically for
your haircut. You got your $12 haircut. Here's your $12. I'm out.
Right.
Yeah.
I just didn't even think about it.
Do you tip the bagger at the grocery store?
No. But if they carried my bags out, I would.
Yes. I've never had that
I haven't either.
Done before. Not
elderly yet. But maybe someday. Here you go, Sonny.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes what we do and don't tip for.
I just think it makes somebody's day a little better. I like to try to spread joy as much as I can. Being a negative turd, I like to try to spread a little bit more joy. A couple bucks here and there, it's not going to kill me. Can't take it with you, is what they say.
It does feel like every job, though, nowadays, if you have to pay with a card, no matter what, whether it's food, restaurant.
There's a tip on there.
Mm-hmm. Anything, there is an option to tip, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
I tipped $12 on my haircut yesterday.
Holy smokes. That's good.
Wow.
That's a really good tip. Did you just want it rounded up, a nice even number? $40, I bet, was the total. $28 haircut, $12 tip.
$30 haircut, $12 tip.
Look at you. Proud of you.
But,
that's damn good.
I go to one of the chain places, and I figure those aren't... They aren't getting a ton of money from each haircut because the chain probably keeps most of it.
$30 haircut.
$12 tip.
Proud of you.
Oh.
I'm really proud of you.
That's a good haircut. I liked it.
You look sharp.
Thank you.
Looks the same as always does, but it looks sharp. $12. That's a big tip.
Plus the chain I go to, they have they do the extra massage and everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's worth
the
an extra
tour?
Tip. Yeah. Not quite. But.
What would you pay extra for that?
Hawk Tua.
Was it a male or a female?
Yesterday was a female, but sometimes it's a male.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter once you're under that hot towel. Hands are hands.
That is also very true.
Right.
Tom just tipped us $10 for excellent service.
Thank you,
Tom. You're amazing. Do I give the mailman a tip / present Christmas? Yes. Tip my mailman. He is a Charger fan. We do have quite spirited debates. When I see him, we wave, we chat. We chat mostly every day. I see my mailman every day. He's a G.
See, now I'm always at work. I, like, never see. I don't even know who my mailman is.
Yeah, you can leave a card in their form at Christmas time, like $50 or something. Bottle of liquor.
In the box.
Hardly know her. Yeah, bottle of liquor.
But that's assuming they're a drinker. I don't know them well enough at all.
Yeah, you always, mailman Rob, shockingly, says, always tip your mailman. who would have thought?
I think we're a little biased there.
Remember the other one that surprised me, and I've only gotten one tattoo, but you tip. You're a tattoo artist. And yeah. I'm just like, I'm specifically only here to give you $500 or whatever for a tattoo.
Service, if you're getting service, if you're being serviced, then I think you tip. Right? Any sort of service that someone's provided, you can tip.
But everything is kind of a service.
I probably should tip.
I mean, the
our
cash.
Amazon
so,
driver.
Okay, you go to. Lululemon, and you bring up, I got this shirt, and I got these ABC pants, and they ring you up. That is a service. Someone is ringing you up at the cashier.
Yeah.
I'm not tipping the person who just rings me up at the cashier.
You go to Foot Locker. Do you have these in a size 13? Let me run in the back and check for you. That's a service. Do you tip them? No. You don't even think about it.
No.
No. You don't. You're right. I go to Dick's. And go, I don't tip the cashier.
The police officer who pulls you over for speeding.
He goes, sir.
Service.
Yes. You go to prison.
Do you tip them?
No, you try to tip them, you'll go to jail for bribery.
Thank you for doing your duty, officer. Here's an extra 10.
Yeah.
In addition to the fine.
Frioli says he doesn't tip people at Starbucks. I do. Those drinks are a pain in the ass to make. I do tip them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my drink is not complicated. I just get a flat white. It's not super complicated, but it's also not
good
just,
choice, though.
Yeah, I got it from you. I tried yours one time, and it was delicious. Yeah. All right. Well, listen.
It's a weird. It can get weird, and I understand it makes us sound cheap.
It's kind of like one of those when in doubt, you know.
Which is what I usually do.
Err on the side of tipping is kind of where I fall. It does get a little when people come to like put stuff together at your home. Like we had the kids' new beds, and they came, and I'm looking at them. Like, there's two of them. Like we gotta duke these guys because they're putting this stuff together. I don't have to do it, so I tipped them pretty generously because I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to lug all the boxes and stuff out. It was great.
It also gets tough when you're ordering like food, like DoorDash, or ordering on somebody's app for a pickup that you're gonna go get. They make you tip when you pay before anything's been prepared.
Yeah,
before anything's been boxed up, and you're like, I don't know if this is worth a 20% tip or a 10% tip.
Yeah,
remember when we were young and you could get full serve gas at the gas station?
It's incredible. You don't have to get out of your car.
But I mean, you should probably tip the guy who's paying your gas. But you always had to pay more for the gas. There was the full service price. And there was the self-service price, and the self-service price was like 50 cents a gallon cheaper because you're paying that already through the cost of the goods and services for the person who's coming out to then pump your gas.
Right.
So if you bought 10 gallons of gas, you paid an extra $5 already. Isn't that essentially the tip? That's the money that's going to that guy.
One would think
for pumping your gas,
but I don't think it worked that way. I think the boss just took the majority of that.
Well, that isn't that the boss's problem? Isn't that the employee? That's an employee-boss issue, not a customer-employee issue.
Then don't get full service.
I never did.
I never really did either. I did like my window.
There's a couple states still. I think like Oregon.
In Texas, you can still get
New
full
Jersey
service.
Or something. You
yeah, Jersey,
still, like,
you can't pump your own
you
gas.
Have to,
yeah, you have
someone
to.
Has to
you
pump it for you.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It'll drive you crazy.
I can't even imagine.
It'll drive you crazy. I can't keep doing that. I can't keep tipping this guy $3 for wiping my windshield. I don't need it, right? Every day. Oh, yeah. Tipping's a hot topic, man. Just when in doubt, tip. Won't hurt you. It's a couple bucks. $12 tip on a $30 haircut is very good. It's probably the most you've ever tipped in your life. What percentage is that?
Percentage-wise, yeah.
That is 40%.
Wow.
That's the biggest tip you've ever given. I feel confident
it's a good
in
service,
on
though.
Anything.
It's a good service.
How attractive was she?
Above and beyond.
How attractive was she?
See, that's an unfair question.
I was just asking. I'd say it was a female that cut your
hair? East County Chris says in the chat, I'm at the airport right now. Should I tip the pilot?
Yeah.
If you want now, to I will say...
I tipped the baggage, guys.
I will say the screen offered me three options, $5, $10, or $15, and I declined all of them and typed in my own, which I often do.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the 10.
I don't like being boxed in on my three options of a tip. I will often do other and then type in my own choice. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Don't choose for me what I can tip. I'll choose for you what I'm going to tip you.
Yeah. All right. Tipping. Always a hot topic. Always.
Sure is.
So are trades. We'll get back to our discussion. Is Ha-Sung Kim a potential trade candidate before the trade deadline? And how badly do the Padres need another arm in that bullpen? Get to that. And then Eno Saris coming up at the bottom of the hour. More Ben and Woods on the way after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We've just made a trade here on the Ben and Woods program. We have acquired John Flynn from KSON for a player to be named later, so we don't have to give up anyone now. He just gets to join us for the stretch run, or at least the next like 3 or 4 minutes. Good morning, John.
Are you feeling fresh? You guys ready to compete?
Yeah, I'm ready to rock right now. Put me in, Coach. You got me all excited for a second. I thought we got a starting pitcher today.
We need a bullpen arm right now. Bullpen badly.
What a great day at the ballpark yesterday, and had a chance to thank many servicemen and women that are there. I just love the military presence that the Padres have every year. Why am I here?
You told us earlier this week, if you joined us on, was it Monday or Tuesday, about the service pet for a vet, that you're raising money to try to get one of our great veterans a service animal. And I had no idea how much it costs to actually train a service dog, especially one that helps with things like PTSD and stress.
$35,000 is the cost to train one dog. It's about a 2.5-year process as well. These dogs are specially bred to do this, to save lives. And it's not even a conversation. It's just a fact. Service pets save vets' lives. Men and women who come back who they're tough. They don't tell people they're hurting. They can't even admit it to themselves, but they're in such a dark place that many of them, I mean, you've heard the stat, 22 a day. That refers to the 22 American veterans who kill themselves every day because of PTSD. Service pets are helping that number decrease, but we got to get this money raised, and we're nowhere near right now. I do the morning show down the hall at KSON. These guys are my friends. I'm also a tier one of this show, and I'm not on the air here. I'm listening to you guys, and I know the hearts that your listeners have. I know how much they love you guys, and maybe they love America as much as we all should. And we get into the 4th of July holiday. There are many men and women right now in one of the biggest cities in America that are dealing with severe crippling PTSD, brain trauma, things that happened overseas that we'll never, thank God, ever have to worry about or know because they did it for us. But they're hurting because of that, and these service animals are literally saving lives. We need a lot more money to reach our $35,000 goal. We're about $8,000 in right now, which is a nice chunk of change, but clearly we need more. So that's why I'm here today, guys. Thank you for letting me come on and pitch my stuff here.
How do people donate?
Just go to KSON.com. If you don't know the station, we are a 60 plus year heritage country station here in San Diego, which is very rare to have a station that long. And we're very proud of every day we play the national anthem at 8 o'clock. And we'll never stop doing that because that's what they do on the bases here in San Diego. It's that important to our listeners. And I know your listeners are the same way. Many of them veterans themselves. So, you know how important this is to your fellow brothers and sisters who are struggling and don't even know how to get out of bed, let alone face a day. And these service animals are making things happen, man. They can sense when you're having a nightmare before you have a nightmare. I mean, imagine that.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was able to watch an interview with a vet who was directly influenced by Paws for Purple Hearts, the beautiful San Diego organization that trains these dogs, and that's who we're raising the money for. And he just starts talking about being triggered, things like going under an underpass on a highway, yeah, because that's where they used to bomb them,
oh,
they used to throw things off, man, the bridges to kill them in Iraq. I mean, things that we don't even think about.
Right.
And he would get triggered, and as he was talking about getting triggered, and he wasn't raising his voice, but something in him as he was talking about that made the dog first start just nuzzling his knee with its nose.
It's unreal.
And then jumping onto his chest because that dog knew, okay, my guy here is having a time right now.
He's
going to have a time.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then it's like a blanket of love and comfort with this dog. I was just happy to be able to see it.
Yeah.
You know, firsthand.
Sure. So go to KSON.com. And then there's a John and Tammy page.
It's right there on the front page. KSON.com. John and Tammy's service pet for a vet. We need thousands of dollars to reach our goal. We're going to do this today. We're going to do this tomorrow. And right now, by the way, you can double your donation because the good friends at San Diego Sailing Tours are going to match your donation up to a grand. So
nice.
And by the way, check with your employer. They might match as well. And that could be a triple donation just by making, you know, like a $25 donation could turn into $75 if your employer also matches.
That's awesome. It's a great, great cause. Tier one's give if you can. Johnny, love the work that you guys do, man.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. And go Padres.
And I know it's an expensive town. Whatever you can do.
Sure.
You know, $5 is the same as $5,000 really in the bare bones of it. But again, not to sound desperate, but I'm desperate. We need thousands. We need thousands of dollars. A veteran needs thousands of dollars. You're going to save a life.
I dropped the link in our YouTube stream as well,
nice,
for anybody who's trying to get there. And we have just flipped John now for, unfortunately, just clearing some roster space. At
yeah.
This point.
Oh, no. Yeah. Trading for cash, yeah. Well, which is what you want. That's what you're saying, cash considerations.
Yeah. And also, I don't want players to pay for soda, so take care of that, too.
We got you.
Okay.
We got
thank
you.
Guys.
Johnny, thank you for stopping by again this morning. And again, it's a great, great cause. I had just no idea that Paws for Purple Hearts, that's what it takes. But if it helps, I mean, actually makes a difference in someone's lives, like tangibly, emotionally, that's like the most important thing you can do for someone.
Dogs are pretty amazing, man. Pretty, pretty amazing when you hear stories like that.
Incredible.
So thank you, Johnny. Thank you to the tier ones out there. Give if you can. If not, maybe share the link to maybe your social group as well.
Okay, so yes, I did bring up the possibility that Ha-Sung Kim could be traded before the deadline. More than likely, though, Padres are going to trade from their stock of prospects. If they're going to add to this roster, AJ is going to have to dip again into his prospect capital. And because he's already made two big deals, Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez, and he's done so without touching any of his top four prospects, there's now kind of a gap between what used to be four and now it's really more like 12 or so in terms of quality prospects. There's a gap right in the middle, the kind of prospect that generally gets you a relief pitcher around the deadline.
They have, they absolutely to acquire a relief pitcher. They absolutely do.
Well, they do, but are you going to have to offer an over-the-top prospect?
I don't think so. I mean,
who are those mid-level prospects now that usually turn into relief pitchers?
That is a question better answered by our friends at Mad Friars, and I know they're listening right now. You can text me, but yeah, I mean, you're not. It's not going to cost you a ton to get a bullpen.
There's some up and comers this year that weren't necessarily on the radar. You don't know what an other GM is going to see. He may have someone they've 100%. Already targeted. Like, I really like this guy, and I don't know if AJ likes him or not, but I like this guy, and I'm asking AJ. Hey, any deal? I'd like this player to be included. So, you know, sometimes the deal comes together well when those names match up. Other times a GM will look at the Padres and go, yeah, I love Ethan Salas and Leo DeVries, but what I'm offering you is probably not enough to land one of those guys. I understand that. We just don't really match up, unfortunately, in what I'm looking for and what you are looking for in a trade.
Creativity is key. I mean, it is absolutely key.
It's AJ's strength. Yep. No doubt about it.
Yep.
All right. Eno Saris, Smart Baseball. He's going to join us when we come back, continue this conversation. Talking pitching machines as well. Did you see some of the news this week about the newfangled pitching machines?
I did, but I've seen this before. I saw this when I was in like ninth grade. But I guess it's better.
I think it's getting better. But Eno was commenting on it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that too. Back in the 70s.
Talk to Eno Saris next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. He teased last week the big piece with Jason Stark about the drop in offensive numbers in baseball. Going to ask Eno Saris about some of those conclusions today, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
As we welcome Eno in, my guess would be that a lot of Padres fans haven't necessarily noticed the drop in offense, simply because the Padres are actually on pace to score more runs than they did last year. I think that's mostly explained through a much higher batting average with runners in scoring position than last year's absurdly low numbers that they put together. But around the league, that's definitely not been the case. And we welcome Eno Saris in from The Athletic for the weekly Smart Baseball. Eno, it is very interesting because they've made a lot of rule changes to try to help the offense, and yet offense continues to trickle away.
Yeah, I think that the general trend in baseball, and you can actually point this back to like 1892 or whatever they started playing affiliated baseball, the general trend has been towards run prevention. So the very beginning of baseball, they were like, you know, hey, I would like the ball here. And they just sort of tossed it in. And the point was to put the ball in play and see what happened once the ball was in play, you know. But that's not what people do anymore. Now you got multiple fastballs, and that was a part of our piece where, you know, now there's a huge rise in cutters and sinkers, and not just normal cutters and sinkers, but now they're all averaging 93 and 94. So you got guys with three fastballs. It makes it hard to kind of figure out which fastball. It also means you never have to throw the wrong fastball to the wrong hand. And then you've got pitch design, so no pitcher is really throwing a really terrible pitch. They're kind of, all their pitches are designed up to their max. You've got outfield shifts. Outfield shifts were more effective than infield shifts at removing hits. Wow. And short of, you know, spray painting some circles out there, it's kind of hard to do anything about that. So, believe me, I'm sure they're considering the spray painting circles. So,
yeah, you have to stay right there.
You have to stay on the DraftKings logo.
Yes, yes, until the ball is actually in the air. Man, that's so interesting. And, you know, I think we're talking about offense being down. You know, for the San Diego Padres is who we mostly cover. They have been a more pleasurable bunch lately, slugging a little bit more, hitting some more home runs. You know, Luis Arraez, I know he's been hurt. He's really, really kind of struggled. It's weird, man. It's weird to see a guy like Luis Arraez. He came, then he kind of jammed his shoulder, and I think that's affected his swing a little bit. But I like how the offense is, everybody's kind of coming out of it a little bit more, and they're starting to hit with a little more pop, which I think makes it feel certainly like the offense is better.
Oh, I mean, this is a pretty good offense. I was looking at some numbers before the show, and I think it's by, you know, sort of league and park adjusted numbers, I think it's like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
You know, so, and what I also like about it is it's kind of, it's a balanced offense where you've got your guys that make contact. You know, Donovan Solano is not a big deal, but he's just a guy who makes contact and is better than a lot of people's other bench pieces. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and you've got your guys to make contact. Once Tatis is back in the lineup, Machado looks like he's, you know, getting back to what he used to be. You know, they're your power threats. Then you've got your kind of your two-way threats and Cronenworth and Profar. So, I mean, it's really a nice balanced lineup. And, I have nothing but good things to say about it, especially with Merrill. Kind of coming into his power as it seems right now.
Well, you've talked about that. We've talked about that with you for many years now about the Padres needing different looks per se in their offense, different shape, swing paths, you know, and it was really easy for pitchers to game plan against the Padres, even last year with an elite hitter like Juan Soto in the lineup, because it just was all the same, essentially. And now it does feel a little bit different, and it certainly looks different, and the brand of baseball certainly feels a little bit better right now.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that what you brought up about runners in scoring position. You know, you have these traditional luck metrics that you look at when you look at a team quality, and the Padres in the last couple of years have really just been on the wrong side.
Yeah, just unlucky.
Of a lot of these luck metrics. Like, remember the one run thing we talked about for a whole year, the one run game thing. You know, they're on the better side of that now. And then, yeah, the other thing that's like losing one run games, and actually related, of course, to losing one run games, is batting average and scoring position, which is just totally fluky year to year. And so, you know, I guess the one thing that's not fluky about it is if you do add some contact, maybe you help yourself, you know, put some balls in play with runners in scoring position.
You know, you know, there's a quote in your piece, and Woods just mentioned Luis Arraez, and I would imagine he'd be the ball player who was least happy to see this quote that was in your piece with Jason Stark, and it was from George Springer, who said, quote, "Don't put batting average up on the scoreboard anymore. It doesn't mean anything. If batting average simply went away, I'm not sure that anyone would care about Luis Arraez at all."
Unless you watched him play.
I don't know. There's still a lot to what he does, which is, you know, just really great contact. And so we might be talking about someone, you know, oh my God, he's striking out 7% of the time when the league is striking out 24% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, you can adjust that for other league contexts. That's probably the same as somebody striking out 1% of the time, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, he does have obvious skills outside of batting average, but you know, I think that the reason that quote exists is because, you know, he's struggling. He doesn't want his batting average up there.
Yeah, 195 for George Springer. I wouldn't want it up there either. Yeah.
But also it speaks to the kind of disconnect between front offices and fans, really, because front offices, for the large part, do not care about batting average. I would bet you even that even if, you know, they acquired Luis Arraez, and they obviously value him, it's not necessarily because of the batting average. It's like, hey, we got this great contact hitter, you know, that we can put in our lineup. So they just speak a different language. Like, the front offices speak a different language than fans. And so Springer was like, if you're just going to put up, batting average, you're kind of speaking the old language when front offices don't value that. And that's part of why batting average is down around the league, because teams are saying, well, I value contact, I value power, I value this, and I use different numbers to find those. So you are more likely to see a starting player hit 230 and hit 35 homers and still have a decent OPS because of the slugging, you know, maybe get on base a bunch. That is more of the modern player, and the team itself won't care about his batting average if he's doing all those other things.
Well, I'll tell you who the modern player then is, because you also tweeted Kyle Higashioka yesterday. And if you look at the numbers, Kyle Higashioka has a better OPS and a higher WAR than Luis Arraez, despite less than half the number of at-bats this season. He passed him yesterday with his 2-home-run, 6-RBI game against the Washington Nationals. I know enough, at least from listening to you and baseball experts, Padres can't expect this to continue from Kyle Higashioka. This has been an insane month.
Insanity.
Yeah, but, you know, I tweeted that there's a bunch of Yankees fans who said that they always loved him. I don't know if that's revisionist history, but...
Probably.
I mean... This he does have the kind of skill set that you want out of a catcher, which is, you know, patience and power. That's the sort of typical skill set out of a catcher, and the catchers are kind of ready to have that skill set because they see so many pitches, you know, and they know the strike zone so intimately that you know, they're kind of set up to have that kind of approach. So I like his approach, and he likes the Western, you know, metal supply building.
He sure does. He wore it out yesterday. Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, let's stay on Padres catchers, because I brought it up earlier in the show today. Was reminded of one of the first interviews we did with you this season about Campusano, who got off to a really good start defensively and offensively. And you had a conversation with him, Eno, about, hey, man, like, you're hitting the ball, your exit velocity is about 70 miles an hour, and he had a comment back of like, I don't care how hard I'm hitting it, as long as they drop. Well, they stop dropping, as tends to do, and you know, he's, I wouldn't say he's in danger of losing his gig, but I think you have to appreciate what Kyle Higashioka has done, and probably he's going to get more reps than he would have, but that was an interesting throwback of him looking at you and saying, I don't care how hard I hit it. I mean, he stopped hitting it, he continued to not hit it hard and didn't get hits.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that does happen with these outside contact rate guys, and that's Campusano has pretty good contact rate. You know, I said this, I asked Marco Scudero this once. I said, you know, you lead the league in contact rate, and he goes, yeah, I probably lead the league in bad contact too. And so what'll happen is that you will make contact on pitches that you shouldn't. You know,
yeah.
You'll make contact on pitches that are outside the zone that don't produce good outcomes. And when you do that, you know, the exit velocity will be lower and the outcomes are worse. So I know he's a free swinging guy that makes a lot of contact, and that's who he is at his core. But any sort of improvement in his play discipline will improve what happens on the balls in play. You know, it's just, if you look at like a heat map of like, hey, where's power? It's in the zone, you know? Where are the good hits? Where's the good exit velocity? It's in the zone. So the more he can sort of focus on where his good parts of the zone and in the zone in general, that's his way forward, I think.
You know, Saris from The Athletic is with us. And you know, I know that even numbers can lie and be misleading. There's no perfect stat. There's no perfect data. WAR is a stat that they at least try to put everything together into one number. My eyes have told me that Ha-Sung Kim, after having a great year last year, has just not played as well this year. Just my eyes, my gut tells me absolutely has not played as well. So I just looked at the WAR numbers. Do you know who leads the Padres in WAR this year?
Ha-Sung Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim, 2.1.
He's a Kim.
How is that even possible? I mean, what am I missing here? You know, he's hitting 223. He's got 10 homers, but it's, you know, doesn't lead the team in that category. I know he's a good defender, but he's committed a lot of errors this year, way more than last year. What am I missing that WAR stat is telling me about Ha-Sung Kim?
I guess a couple of things. You know, we started this interview at the top with how offense is down. So you'll probably, if you kind of scan across and see how good his offense is relative to the league, you'll probably be surprised. I don't have it in front of me, but I would guess that maybe
he's like a top seven shortstop offensively, I think, something like that. Way surprising, yeah.
And he's probably only like 10% worse than league average with the bat. Well, you're like, what? That line is 10% worse than league average with the bat? So that's part of it, is just like the league offense is so low that you could have a bad-looking line and it's actually fine. And then the other part is that, like, you know, errors actually don't factor in to defensive metrics the way that our eyes think they should. You know, we see an error and we go, oh, my God, and we remember the error, you know. Defensive metrics see, oh, maybe he got to a ball that someone else wouldn't have, you know, or, you know, maybe that was a ball that was hit, you know, 125 miles an hour and he wasn't, you know, it's not necessarily his fault that he didn't get to it, basically. And so...
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. He teased last week the big piece with Jason Stark about the drop in offensive numbers in baseball. Going to ask Eno Saris about some of those conclusions today, coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
As we welcome Eno in, my guess would be that a lot of Padres fans haven't necessarily noticed the drop in offense, simply because the Padres are actually on pace to score more runs than they did last year. I think that's mostly explained through a much higher batting average with runners in scoring position than last year's absurdly low numbers that they put together. But around the league, that's definitely not been the case. And we welcome Eno Saris in from The Athletic for the weekly Smart Baseball. Eno, it is very interesting because they've made a lot of rule changes to try to help the offense, and yet offense continues to trickle away.
Yeah, I think that the general trend in baseball, and you can actually point this back to like 1892 or whatever they started playing affiliated baseball, the general trend has been towards run prevention. So the very beginning of baseball, they were like, you know, hey, I would like the ball here. And they just sort of tossed it in. And the point was to put the ball in play and see what happened once the ball was in play, you know. But that's not what people do anymore. Now you got multiple fastballs, and that was a part of our piece where, you know, now there's a huge rise in cutters and sinkers, and not just normal cutters and sinkers, but now they're all averaging 93 and 94. So you got guys with three fastballs. It makes it hard to kind of figure out which fastball. It also means you never have to throw the wrong fastball to the wrong hand. And then you've got pitch design, so no pitcher is really throwing a really terrible pitch. They're kind of, all their pitches are designed up to their max. You've got outfield shifts. Outfield shifts were more effective than infield shifts at removing hits. Wow. And short of, you know, spray painting some circles out there, it's kind of hard to do anything about that. So believe me, I'm sure they're considering the spray painting circles. So,
yeah, you have to stay right there.
You have to stay on the DraftKings logo.
Yes, yes, until the ball is actually in the air. Man, that's so interesting. And, you know, I think we're talking about offense being down. You know, for the San Diego Padres is who we mostly cover. They have been a more pleasurable bunch lately, slugging a little bit more, hitting some more home runs. You know, Luis Arraez, I know he's been hurt. He's really, really kind of struggled. It's weird, man. It's weird to see a guy like Luis Arraez. He came, then he kind of jammed his shoulder, and I think that's affected his swing a little bit. But I like how the offense is, everybody's kind of coming out of it a little bit more, and they're starting to hit with a little more pop, which I think makes it feel certainly like the offense is better.
Oh, I mean, this is a pretty good offense. I was looking at some numbers before the show, and I think it's, by you know, sort of league and park adjusted numbers, I think it's like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
You know, so and what I also like about it is it's kind of it's a balanced offense where you've got your guys that make contact. You know, Donovan Solano is not a big deal, but he's just a guy who makes contact and is better than a lot of people's other bench pieces. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and you've got your guys to make contact. Once Tatis is back in the lineup, Machado looks like he's, you know, getting back to what he used to be. You know, they're your power threats. Then you've got your kind of your two-way threats in Cronenworth and Profar. So, I mean, it's really a nice balanced lineup. And I have nothing but good things to say about it, especially with Merrill kind of coming into his power, as it seems right now.
Well, you've talked about that. We've talked about that with you for many years now, about the Padres needing different looks, per se, in their offense, different shape, swing paths, you know? And it was really easy for pitchers to game plan against the Padres, even last year with an elite hitter like Juan Soto in the lineup, because it just was all the same, essentially. And now it does feel a little bit different, and it certainly looks different, and the brand of baseball certainly feels a little bit better right now.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that what you brought up about runners in scoring position. You know, you have these traditional luck metrics that you look at when you look at a team quality, and the Padres in the last couple of years have really just been on the wrong side.
Yeah, just unlucky.
Of a lot of these luck metrics. Like, remember the one-run thing we talked about for a whole year, the one-run game thing? You know, they're on the better side of that now. And then, yeah, the other thing that's like losing one run games, and actually related, of course, to losing one run games, is batting average and scoring position, which is just totally fluky year to year. And so, you know, I guess the one thing that's not fluky about it is if you do add some contact, maybe you help yourself, you know, put some balls in play with runners in scoring position.
You know, you know, there's a quote in your piece, and Woods just mentioned Luis Arraez, and I would imagine he'd be the ball player who was least happy to see this quote that was in your piece with Jason Stark, and it was from George Springer, who said, quote, "Don't put batting average up on the scoreboard anymore. It doesn't mean anything." If batting average simply went away, I'm not sure that anyone would care about Luis Arraez at all.
Unless you watched him play.
I don't know. There's still a lot to what he does, which is, you know, just really great contact. And so we might be talking about someone, you know, oh my God, he's striking out 7% of the time when the league is striking out 24% of the time. You know what I mean? Like, you can adjust that for other league contexts. That's probably the same as somebody striking out 1% of the time, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, he does have obvious skills outside of batting average, but you know, I think that the reason that quote exists is because, you know, he's struggling. He doesn't want his batting average up there.
Yeah, 195 for George Springer. I wouldn't want it up there either. Yeah.
But also, it speaks to the kind of disconnect between front offices and fans, really, because front offices, for the large part, do not care about batting average. I would bet you even that even if, you know, they acquired Luis Arraez, and they obviously value him, it's not necessarily because of the batting average. It's like, hey, we got this great contact hitter, you know, that we can put in our lineup. So they just speak a different language. Like, the front offices speak a different language than fans. And so Springer was like, if you're just going to put up, you know, batting average, you're kind of speaking the old language when front offices don't value that. And that's part of why batting average is down around the league, because teams are saying, well, I value contact, I value power, I value this, and I use different numbers to find those. So you are more likely to see a starting player hit 230 and hit 35 homers and still have a decent OPS because of the slugging, you know, maybe get on base a bunch. That is more of the modern player, and the team itself won't care about his batting average if he's doing all those other things.
Well, I'll tell you who the modern player then is, because you also tweeted Kyle Higashioka yesterday.
Mama said it.
And if you look at the numbers, Kyle Higashioka has a better OPS and a higher WAR than Luis Arraez, despite less than half the number of at-bats this season. He passed him yesterday with his two-home run, six RBI game against the Washington Nationals. I know enough, at least from listening to you and baseball experts, Padres can't expect this to continue from Kyle Higashioka. This has been an insane month.
Insanity.
Yeah, but, you know, I tell you that there's a bunch of Yankees fans who said that they always loved him. I don't know if that's revisionist history, but
probably.
I mean, this he does have the kind of skill set that you want out of a catcher, which is, you know, patience and power. That's the sort of typical skill set out of a catcher, and the catchers are kind of ready to have that skill set because they see so many pitches, you know, and they know the strike zone so intimately that you know, they're kind of set up to have that kind of approach. So I like his approach, and he likes the Western, you know, metal supply building.
He sure does. He wore it out yesterday. Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, let's stay on Padres catchers because I brought it up earlier in the show today. I was reminded of one of the first interviews we did with you this season about Campusano, who got off to a really good start defensively and offensively. And you had a conversation with him, Eno, about, hey, man, like, you're hitting the ball, your exit velo is about 70 miles an hour, and he had a comment back of like, I don't care how hard I'm hitting it, as long as they drop. Well, they stop dropping, as tends to do, and you know, he's, I wouldn't say he's in danger of losing his gig, but I think you have to appreciate what Kyle Higashioka has done, and probably he's going to get more reps than he would have, but that was an interesting throwback of him looking at you and saying, I don't care how hard I hit it. I mean, he stopped hitting it, he continued to not hit it hard and didn't get hits.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that does happen with these outside contact rate guys, and that's Campusano has pretty good contact rate. You know, I said this, I asked Marco Scudero this once. I said, you know, you lead the league in contact rate, and he goes, yeah, I probably lead the league in bad contact too. And so what'll happen is that you will make contact on pitches that you shouldn't. You know,
Yeah. You'll
make contact on pitches that are outside the zone that don't produce good outcomes. And when you do that, you know, the exit velocity will be lower and the outcomes are worse. So I know he's a free swinging guy that makes a lot of contact, and that's who he is at his core. But any sort of improvement in his play discipline will improve what happens on the balls in play. You know, it's just if you look at like a heat map of like, hey, where's power? It's in the zone, you know. Where are the good hits? Where's the good exit velocity? It's in the zone. So the more he can sort of focus on where his good parts of the zone and in the zone in general, that's his way forward, I think.
You know, Saris from The Athletic is with us. And you know, I know that even numbers can lie and be misleading. There's no perfect stat. There's no perfect data. WAR is a stat that they at least try to put everything together into one number. My eyes have told me that Ha-Sung Kim, after having a great year last year, has just not played as well this year. Just my eyes, my gut tells me absolutely has not played as well. So I just looked at the WAR numbers. Do you know who leads the Padres in WAR this year?
Ha-Sung Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim, 2.1.
He's a Kim.
How is that even possible? I mean, what am I missing here? You know, he's hitting .223. He's got 10 homers, but it's, you know, doesn't lead the team in that category. I know he's a good defender, but he's committed a lot of errors this year, way more than last year. What am I missing that WAR stat is telling me about Ha-Sung Kim?
I guess a couple of things. You know, we started this interview at the top with how offense is down. So you'll probably, if you kind of scan across and see how good his offense is relative to the league, you'll probably be surprised. I don't have it in front of me, but I would guess that maybe
he's like a top seven shortstop offensively, I think, something like that. Way surprising.
Yeah, right. And he's probably only like 10% worse than league average with the bat, where you're like, what? That line is 10% worse than league average with that? So that's part of it, is just like the league offense is so low that you could have a bad looking line and it's actually fine. And then the other part is that, like, you know, errors actually don't factor in to defensive metrics the way that our eyes think they should. You know, we see an error and we go, oh my God, or and we remember the error, you know. Defensive metrics see, oh, maybe he got to a ball that someone else wouldn't have, you know, or, you know, maybe that was a ball that was hit, you know, 125 miles an hour and he wasn't, you know, it's not necessarily his fault that he didn't get to it, basically. And so, you know, the defensive metrics are kind of look at everything in a way that we can't with our eyes. That's why I like metrics, is because they'll remember things that we won't remember.
Yeah.
And so I would assume that his defense is rated as well as last year. Now, one last thing I will say about WAR is that the defensive metrics that are in Fangraphs WAR are probably like not the best defensive metrics. So sometimes if you're looking at a Fangraphs WAR and you're saying that,
I think this is actually B WAR though. That's which one does the ESPN.com use? That's I think that's the B WAR.
Yeah,
isn't
even
it?
Yeah. B WAR. Like both okay. of those guys, I think that the best defensive metrics are the ones on Baseball Savant. I wouldn't be surprised though if Kim was good there too. So
they are.
You know,
I just looked.
Saying,
yeah.
What
they are? They're good.
Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, I think he's just a really good defender whose offense looks worse than it is. And so he's still a valuable player. I am interested to see what this offensive downturn does, you know, on the market for him next year and how much he can get it back going again. I do think he can get it back going offensively. And the nice thing about this lineup is like people have been hot at different times. That's another part of chaos and luck. You know, sometimes your team is just everyone's bad at the same time and everyone's good at the same time. And this team so far has kind of had different people step up at different times. And so Kim's struggles haven't been as important, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so maybe there'll be like a 3-week stretch where you're like, ah, it's Kim's time, you know?
That's how I see it. We only have 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you quickly about the traject machine, but I guess we'll wait until next week because
I did want to ask
minutes,
about
Ben
that
means
too.
30 seconds.
Ben,
I did want to.
Ben teased it, and we never got to it.
You had seen one of those earlier. It's basically a pitching machine that replicates the pitches and deliveries of pitchers,
yeah.
So you know players can get that look at least going into an at bat. But yeah, we'll save that for
next week
for another day.
Yeah, and I just dropped a trade deadline piece of what arms are available.
Ooh.
Arms and bats are available.
Need to read that one.
Deadline.
Look at
and
you.
And I've got a big piece coming up tomorrow. So next week, we'll have a couple of topics to talk about.
Excellent. Let's do an hour next week, Eno.
Thank you, Eno.
Okay.
All right. Later, buddy.
Eno Saris from The Athletic, our weekly Smart Baseball segment, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. Yeah, I need to look through some of those names that are available. Jeff Passan did it, and it's like, Luis Severino. It's like the Mets are red hot right now.
Yeah, they're
not trading Severino to the Padres, at least not today. I certainly wouldn't expect that, but who is available? So we'll check that out. We got another hour to go before the roundtable. Paul
has
got a round report all ahead. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.